the same. I'll say yes to your will, and I'll say yes to your way.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Lord God, we thank you for another day to know you more deeply, to be more intimately acquainted with you. We thank you for allowing us to be in your presence at all times, to never be separated from you. We thank you that through your Son, Christ Jesus, we have been placed in right standing with you, that there is no longer a separation or an enmity between us, but your Son has redeemed us, redeemed the relationship. And we thank you. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for this abundant life. We thank you, Lord, for this perfect love that drives out all fear. So we praise you. We thank you that during this broadcast that you will be speaking to our hearts and filling us with the beauty of your presence, the beauty of your love for us, that we will be changed during this hour to be unchangeable, moving from glory to glory. And it's all because of you, Lord Jesus. It's all because of you. And I do give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work, and I am your host, Pat Randall, sometimes called Pastor Pat. I am here today to continue this series, Where Do You Live? Where Are You Going? And I am now in part 6 of the series, and I'm focusing on that second question, where are you going? Where are you going? Amen. And in order for you to be headed in the right direction, vision is important. You have to see where you're going. If you're walking in darkness, you are not going to be able to see it. If you're walking being distracted, you are going to miss it. If you're walking in anxiety and worry, it is definitely going to blur your vision, and you could most possibly be headed in the wrong direction. But before I get started, I want to focus on two scriptures that drew my heart's attention. In fact, moments before I started to record this message, and it's the scripture that says, "He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches." And that's Revelations 2, verse 29. Let me read that again. "He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches." What we're hearing is very important. But are you hearing from the world, or are you hearing from the Spirit of God as He speaks to us? In this time, listen to this. This is really good. Chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It says, "Are you listening to me?" This is Jesus speaking. "Are you listening to me? Really listening?" He's actually speaking to the people as he usually does in these open out in the field things where the people have gathered to hear him. And he was talking about John the Baptist and how they mistook John the Baptist and did not heed to what the message John was bringing to them about the kingdom of God and about the Messiah. So as he finishes sharing all of this, and when he basically said that they criticized John the Baptist and they referred to him as a demon. And then when Jesus came, the Messiah that John was actually speaking of, bringing in the kingdom of God, they called him, because he drank wine, was a glutton and a wine bibber, and that he sat in the seats with the sinners and the tax collectors, you know, and then they criticize him. But this is what Jesus says to them after sharing all of that. He says, "Are you listening to me? Really listening?" And then he goes on to say, "How can I account for this generation? The people have been like spoiled children whining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope, and you were always too tired. We wanted to talk, but you were always too busy. John came fasting, and they called him crazy. I came feasting, and they called me a lush, a friend of the riffraff. Opinion polls don't count for much, do they? The proof of the pudding is in the eating." And what that particular scripture called to mind was how people are responding right now in this coronavirus. We have certain states where they haven't implemented any types of protocols, and people just, they act as if it's a hoax and that it's not going to touch them, and they don't want to change anything about their lifestyles, you know, like spoiled children, whining to their parents, as the scripture is saying. And they don't want to make any adjustments, and I don't want to change my lifestyle, and what about the economy, and I have to make money, you know, all the things that we have so invested ourselves into. And we feel that this whole situation with the coronavirus is trying to creep in on your freedoms and your right to enjoy life and the fullness of life. So you're like spoiled children whining to your parents, why can't I continue to do this, and why do I have to give up that? And I actually saw some video of children, on young people on their, what is it, the spring break, and they're laughing and drinking, and you know, and they're saying, well, we're gonna have to die from something, and I don't care, I just want to, you know, have a good time, this is my spring break. And that is what we have become in our culture, especially here in the West, and in particularly in the United States. We're just so spoiled. And when things come to challenge us, or that require us to take a more mature approach and to let some things go so that we can deal with the situation at hand, we're whining and complaining like children, because we've never really listened to what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. We've never listened to how he has expressed himself, even in nature. And we disregard this, and we act foolishly. So this is a time when we really need to hear, and not just hear, but take heed to the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let me move into the message. Where are you going? You got to see where you're going. You can be going somewhere, but if you're going blind, you could end up just about anywhere. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So clearly, negative thoughts and emotions have a way of blinding us. You know, I was thinking about how Jesus, in all of his mercy and compassion on the cross, and as he's praying to the Father, he asked them to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because they haven't been listening. And they haven't been hearing. And it puts us in a dangerous place when we're not hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. And we're following the voice of man as opposed to following the voice of God. And that has everything to do with where you live. Have you been living in this world and being of this world? Because it shapes our vision. Let me read from Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105. It says, "From your precepts I get understanding." Talking about God's precepts. "From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." See, there's a true way and there's a false way. The Message Bible says it this way: "With your instruction, I understand life. That's why I hate false propaganda. With your instruction, I understand life. That's why I hate false propaganda." Verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Message Bible says it like this: "By your words, I can see where I'm going They throw a beam of light on my dark path. By your words, by God's words, you can see where you're going. They bring light to a dark path, so you don't have to stumble around in what you can't see. You'll know where you're going. God's instructions help you to get understanding in this life. And as a result of understanding life through the eyes of God, through the wisdom of God, through the knowledge of God, you hate false propaganda. You hate every false way, the way that misdirects and have you going down a path that is actually leading to nowhere because it's false. It may have the appearance of promising, a promising path, and you go down that path. How many people have gone down that path and discovered that there was nothing at the end of it? You can sell your soul to try and gain everything in this world and end up losing your life, not having real life, having all the material things of the world, but not having life. I want to now move to Matthew chapter 6. This is such a great chapter. It exposes perspectives that rob us of having a clear vision. Because I'm telling you that you don't know where you're going if you're not following God's instructions. If God's wisdom is not present in your life, how can you possibly know that where you're going is leading to life? That it's not a journey that is leading to destruction. This pandemic is exposing where you are. If you are a believer, is exposing whether you truly believe. And if you're a non-believer, it's exposing the fact that the way of life that you have chosen is not going to work in this situation. You can't buy your way out of it. You can't earn another college degree your way out of it. Get a better job your way out of it. Buy a bigger house your way out of it. Okay, let's move to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, Matthew, we're going to start in Matthew 6, chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 19. Amen. I'm reading out of the Amplified now. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves material treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." You see how vulnerable you are when you spend so much time gathering these material treasures in the earth, which can be here today and gone tomorrow. They're temporal. Verse 20. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure," verse 21, "for where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers will be also." So right now, well, what's going on with this coronavirus, whatever name they give it, which is a name below the name of Jesus. Whatever is named in this world is below the name of Jesus. Okay? There's nothing higher than the name of Jesus. All that that name represents, there's nothing higher than that. But it's saying here that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. So if you've put so much energy and so much focus into getting what you want and having your desires met, and you know, all of that is centered around how much money you make and being able to go to a restaurant when you want to. If your heart is centered around those things, that kind of living, the kinds of clothes you wear, all of that stuff has become valuable to you. You've centered your life around that. What happens when these things start to shift and change or be removed? Where's your heart? Is your heart failing you now? Is it failing you for fear? Are you fearful the moment these things are removed from your life or threatened to be moved out of your life? This is how the Message Bible says this sentence, that verse. The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. In fact, that's where you'll be living. Where do you live? Are you living in that place where you've been storing up your little earthly treasures and that has become your life? That's the place that you most want to be. And that's why you see people going out on the beaches and doing, you know, this is my spring break, this is my vacation, this, because that's the treasure. That's the place where they most want to be and end up being. 22, very important verse, connected to seeing. Seeing rightly. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, spiritually perceptive, your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. Benefiting from God's precepts. Your whole body will be filled with this light. Verse 23, but if your eye is bad, spiritually blind, your whole body will be full of darkness, devoid of God's precepts. So if the very light inside you, your inner self, your heart, your conscience is darkness, how great and terrible is that darkness? Your inner self, your heart, your conscience is dark. How great and terrible is that darkness? King James Bible says it this way. The light of the body is the eye. We're not talking about the physical eye. Eye, singular eye. Because it's talking about your vision. Your inner vision. What you are able to see. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It's hard to keep a single eye if you're allowing all these things to distract you. Verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. And some of us, it is only up to now that we're in this crisis situation that we realize that we have loved our money, our possessions, our fame, our status more than we've loved the Lord. And now our hearts are failing us for fear. For fear. It has made us susceptible to the spirit of fear. The place where we thought we found happiness and contentment and peace with all of our little things around us and all the little things that we like to do and all the people we like to be around. When all of that is threatened, we find out that it was all more important to us than God was. Okay, let's move on to verse 25. I like this header that it has for this section, this whole section. It says, the cure for anxiety, the cure for anxiety. Because, you know, when we're worried and we're anxious, you can't see. You cannot see. You cannot see. You're stumbling about. You cannot see where you're going. Verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Ask yourself that. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? That's a big question, isn't it? When you think about life, is your life more than food and clothing? What you will wear, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, where you go, where you're going to live, what house, what kind of furniture you're going to have, what kind of places you're going to vacation. Is not life more than all of that? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed nor reap the harvest, nor gather the crops into barns. And yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more, much more than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to the length of his life? So clearly there's no benefit to worrying. There is no benefit. And why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and wildflowers of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Verse 32, for the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. So have we been seeking after the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his way of doing things and being right, his attitude and character? Has that been more of a priority than what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, what job you're going to have, how much money you're going to make? Has seeking God, his kingdom, his righteousness been important to you? Verse 34 says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Now, this is a good thing. You can only live one day at a time. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So today, don't worry. Take no thought about tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't even exist. There's no such thing as tomorrow. It's always today. It's today. When tomorrow comes, it'll be today. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Keeping a single eye, having a sound mind. Allowing God's instructions to bring you understanding for life. This is what's going to help you to see where you're going. Because God is taking us somewhere, church. He's taking us somewhere. And it's not what the world has been telling you. Bigger promotion. A higher paying job. More new clothes. An expensive car. Well respected, great reputation. For some of us, being famous. That's not what the journey is about here in the earth. And that's not to say that you can't have these things, but they're not your priority. You're not seeking after them, but you're seeking after the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. That is what can never be taken away from you. It's consistent. It doesn't change. It doesn't rust. Thieves can't break in and steal it. So today, as we have gone through these scriptures, let this be a moment in time where you seek to have a clearer vision of where you're going, of being able to see through the eyes of God. You know, the scripture that talks about having the mind of Christ, being able to see things from a Christ-like perspective. Desire it. Let that be the desire of your heart, to just know him more, to just have a greater understanding of his perfect love that he has for you, to allow that to give you eyes to see this world from another perspective, to see it as God sees it, to take you to a higher place where even when you see people that you're seeing more deeply, you're seeing them as God sees them. This is a season of maturity, church. It's time to grow up. We are no longer children to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But I think I said it in last week's podcast that we study to show ourselves approved, which means that we are going to prove through our lives who God is. And when we hear teachings that are meant to encourage us and to strengthen us, because we know God and we know his word, we will not be misled. We will be able to discern the difference between man's words and God's words, because we know him for ourselves. We know his word. So the things that we hear will confirm the scriptures that we already know, the heart of God that we've experienced in our lives, that forgiveness, that love, that mercy that has been extended to us. We need a single eye that we may be filled completely with the light of God in our lives, so that we can shine brightly in this world. They need to see. They need light. They're walking very dark paths and they're stumbling about, and the only light they're going to see is the light that comes from our lives, the light that will lead them to the path to Christ. Well, I'm going to stop right here, right now, and I'm going to take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you again. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you every day that you give me another opportunity to just to commune with you, to have fellowship with you. Thank you for loving on us during this hour and opening our eyes to see, opening our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to the churches in this season. Help us in our unbelief, Lord, that we may fully trust you and know that your promises are true, that we can always say yes and amen, that you hide us, you cover us with your wings. They are our shelter. You're our refuge and our fortress. We trust only in you. So we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in the earth during this time. Amen. Everything that we see isn't all that's going on. There's so much more. And the Spirit of the Lord will reveal to you. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for us. An opportunity. It requires sight to be able to see it, to see the opportunity that the Lord God is presenting us in this time. Gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Amen. Praise God and amen. Amen. Thank you for being with me during this hour. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am just so grateful for what God is showing me during this time and just taking me to greater levels of love and being able to see past things that I hear people saying and things that I see them doing, and really see what the real heart cry is. People are crying out for love. They really need to be loved in a way that only God can love them. And God can love them through us if we just allow him to just flow through us unhindered, unhindered by our prejudices. Just unhindered, unhindered by our perspective of who we are outside of Christ, because that's not really us. The old man is dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So praise God. So make sure you set something on your schedule to remind you that tomorrow night is Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose. And this is the fifth Sunday coming up. So that will be Bread of Life at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's Friday Night Joy tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Bread of Life on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So God bless you. Know that you are in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. He is with you every step of the way. His love will cast out all fear. So just feed on his love during this season. Just know that you are perfectly loved by him, that you are safe with him. Amen. God bless you. Until next time. Amen. Bye.
Say yes when you wake me early in the morning. I'll say yes at the going down of the same. I'll say yes to your will. And I'll say yes to your way. I'll say yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. I'll say forsake me, I'll say yes. If I go by myself, I'll say yes to your will, and I'll say yes to
when my feelings don't say